All right, welcome back to KMBR. Tonight, plenty of 49ers and Packers talk ahead of the NFC divisional round at Lambeau Field this weekend. Plenty of Golden State Warriors chatter this evening as they're home at the Chase Center. But we would be remiss if we went 4 hours here on KMBR tonight without talking about the San Francisco Giants. And here to help us do that, Baseball America's Kyle Glazer. Kyle, thank you so much for joining us this evening and making some time for us. And it's great to have a fellow Sun Devil on the show. How are you?
Doing all right. I was just thinking the same thing. It's always good to talk to a fellow Sun Devil. And I will say, I was thinking back to the Dodgers-Giants playoff series. We were both covering it. And I remember talking to you and Fabian Ardaya and Jack Harris, some other fellow Sun Devils, about, you know, if ASU makes it to the Pac-12 title game, we should all go. This is right after their big win against UCLA. And that quickly went down the drain. We were fooled by our Sun Devils, which unfortunately happens way too often.
Yeah. It's an annual occurrence for us. So we're accustomed to heartbreak. And at this point, I can't even use the word heartbreak because it's just an expectation. So let's move this conversation forward. The reason that I wanted to have you on the show tonight, Baseball America puts out its annual top 100 prospects list this week. 5 San Francisco Giants prospects listed. We will get into each of them. But before we do, Kyle, this is a 107-win team that has 5 guys on your top 100 list. In terms of the present and the future, the Giants have to be in as good of a standing or as good of a standing just as about any team in baseball right now.
Absolutely. I mean, when you won the most games in Major League Baseball last season and you are tied for the second most top 100 prospects, it doesn't get much better than that. Obviously, the Giants are going to have to replace Buster Posey, and that's so huge. Kevin Gausman obviously left in free agency, but there's still a lot of talent on this roster. You know, the front office and the coaching staff are going to get the most from everything they have, and there's a lot more talent coming up. So there's no question. When you look at all the teams in Major League Baseball and say who's in the best position, both present and future, it's the Rays, it's the Dodgers, the Giants are right there in that conversation as well.
It's amazing to see how far they've come under Farhan Zaidi, Scott Harris, and Gabe Kaplan over the last few years, but that's the reality of where they have come and what they have done. And let's get right into replacing Buster Posey, because it's going to be a difficult task for the Giants this year. And Joey Bart making an appearance on your top 100 prospect list, he will play a significant role in that process. How do you guys see Bart? He comes in at number 71 on your top 100 list. And where has he made strides, and where does he still need to develop his game?
Yeah, we saw him come up in 2020, and obviously he struggled both offensively and defensively, but that was a situation where he was forced into action before he was ready. He had barely played above high A and then had some time, a little bit at double A and the alternate training site, and he just wasn't ready for the major league, so I wouldn't judge him too much off of that look. He's made some strides offensively. He did some things just in terms of limiting some of his chase and swing and miss at triple A Sacramento last year. He's still always going to be more of a power over hit guy, but there's a very real chance he could get to 20, 25 home runs and, you know, hit for a respectable average, 240, 250. And the main thing defensively, he has the arm. When he's right, you see the receiving ability, the big body back there. Everything is there. One thing that has come up with him a couple times over the years is he doesn't always exude the energy and leadership behind the plate you want to see. And the Giants have been so spoiled with that with Buster Posey for the better part of a decade now. So that is an area he's going to have to improve. But hopefully with maturity and just catching major league pitchers, that will come. The physical abilities are there. If he just improves on that defensively, he should settle in just fine as the Giants' everyday catcher.
And now the coast is clear. The opportunity is right in front of him. So maybe that will lead that leadership switch to flip for Joey Bart. Maybe the Giants will see that come 2022 and opening day. The guy at the top of the Giants prospect list and the top of this farm system, Marco Luciano, 20 years old, a phenom from the Dominican Republic, shortstop prospect. Kyle, it feels like we've been talking about him for the last few years as maybe one of the top 20, 25 prospects in all of baseball, and that's exactly how you guys rank him. What is the ceiling on a player like Luciano?
He has a chance to be a big power hitter in the middle of the order. When you talk about young players and just the power he possesses, it's pretty rare. His strikeout rate was a little bit elevated this year, but you look at what he did at low A, which is where he was really kind of appropriate in terms of his age and his level of experience. It wasn't terrible. He was able to hit 278, got on base a good bit. Again, it's going to be more power over hit. He's never going to be a guy competing for batting titles, but again, if it's 260 with 30, 35 home runs, that's a really good hitter who makes all-star games and you can live with in the middle of your order on a championship club. And that's what he projects to be.
I'm curious how you view it, because I know that a lot of the scouting industry and a lot of the media are split on Luciano's future. Can he stay at the shortstop position and ultimately be the successor to Brandon Crawford there for the Giants?
There's a chance. I don't want to say there's no chance. I think, generally speaking, a lot of people expect he'll move to third base just as he gets bigger and older and stronger. But you never really know. A lot of the same things were said about Fernando Tatis when he was in low A and the way he developed physically. He's able to stay lithe and stay lean and stay athletic. He was able to stay there at short. So there's definitely a chance. I think it's really not an issue either way whether he ends up playing shortstop or third base, just because the bat projects to be so impactful. Even if he's a third baseman, you know, he can still be a guy who hits fourth or fifth in your lineup and represent your team in all-star games every year. He'll be an offensive force regardless.
Yeah, that's going to matter for this Giants team, which has had struggles producing homegrown position player talent since Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, and Brandon Belt. And the Giants really believe that Luciano can be part of this next wave. And another player who projects to have that kind of an impact with the bat, who's kind of popped up in terms of his prospect status within the last calendar year or so, it's Luis Matos. And he had a great year for low A San Jose for the San Francisco Giants organization. Tell us a little bit about what you know and what you like about Luis Matos.
Yeah, his name really started coming up last year at Instructional League in 2020. Obviously, there was no minor league season, but his performance at Instructs really opened some eyes, and he carried that into this year, his first full professional season. And he was one of the best players in a league that was full of talent. I was going to call it the California League. Now it's the Low A West. We talked about Marco Luciano and all his abilities and his power. But as I mentioned, there's some swing and miss there. In the sense he's a lower average player and maybe he moves to third base, you could find scouts both inside and outside the Giants organization who would tell you they preferred Luis Matos. Not as a knock on Luciano, but a testament to how good Matos could be, just because he's such an exceptional hitter, makes a ton of contact, a ton of hard contact. I saw him line balls 107 miles an hour off the batter's eye in center field straight away. He still has room to get bigger and stronger, and he actually moves pretty well in center field. He has good reactions and reads off the bat. And this has a chance to be someone who hits for a very high average, plays up the middle in center field, and gets some home run power too. He's another tremendous prospect and someone we at Baseball America think has a chance to rise potentially into the top 50 and then maybe even the top 25 over the course of the coming season.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
It's really interesting to have this conversation with you, Kyle, now, because I've been covering the Giants for 5 years, started in 2017, that famous 98 loss season. And it feels like, you know, for most of that time, we've had one or two prospects with high ceilings that the Giants could get excited about. You go down this list, we've already talked about Bart, Luciano, and Matos, and that doesn't even get to 2017 first-round pick Elliot Ramos, who's on the precipice of his Major League debut, and he could be impacting this 2022 San Francisco Giants team if all goes according to plan with his development, right?
Yeah, you know, he took a little bit of a step back this past year. Again, everyone came out of the shutdown and the lost minor league season a little bit differently. Evaluators were not as high on him this past year as they had been in previous years, but you're still talking about a very young player who's a bigger kid. He's kind of built like a bowling ball, but he's kind of sneaky athletic. He runs better than you think and plays defense better than you think and has some power in there and some feel to hit. So, still a young guy who does a little bit of everything and could certainly end up being the Giants' everyday right fielder, depending on how things, you know, transpire over the next couple of years. Again, whether he becomes an all-star or more of a really good everyday player, people are more trending toward the really good everyday player. But again, that's still a valuable contributor that the Giants could use.
Yeah, Giants would certainly take it, particularly because it's been, four decades since they produced a homegrown all-star in the outfield. So just a mere starter caliber player that Ramos projects to be, they would absolutely take that. Chatting with Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, about the top 100 prospect list and the San Francisco Giants prospects who are on it. And Kyle, the top pitching prospect in the Giants organization, according to your outlet, left-hander Kyle Harrison, De La Salle product, so he's a local guy to the Bay Area, and he's someone who had a tremendous year from a strikeout perspective at low A San Jose with the Giants. Where do you see his stock rising, and what can he do to kind of polish his game?
Yeah, I saw him at the area code games before he was a high school senior at De La Salle, and he saw a really athletic left-hander who was 90-92 with some late zip, locating to both sides of the plate, working quickly. There's a lot to like. Then he bulked up, got stronger, and all of a sudden he's sitting in the mid-90s, touching the upper 90s as a teenage left-hander, which you really would really like to see. With that velocity bump, he's sort of lost some of his control. He gets a lot of swings and misses. He also had a lot of walks, hit batters. So I think the main thing with him now is just learning to kind of find the balance, some cases dial back a little bit, be a little more efficient with his pitches to pitch deeper into games. But you just look at the stuff. Again, a lefty who can throw as hard as he can with some good secondaries, and everything has just been trending in the right direction stuff-wise. And the control is in there. It's more just a matter of him learning to back off a little bit. Again, very young pitching prospect. There's always a lot of risk with those type of players, but the ingredients are there to be a really good potential mid-rotation or better left-handed starter with some power and some finesse.
And the true definition of a homegrown guy. I mean, this guy grew up in the backyard of this giant stadium at Oracle Park. And so really cool to see his development and to see him kind of pop up last year with the low A San Jose Giants as he got the chance to pitch locally. Kyle, one thing I love about talking to you about the Giants prospects and the Giants farm system is it's not just the top end guys who you have well-developed opinions of and well-developed scouting reports of. We can go on and on about the depth in this system. Obviously the top 100 list is why you're on this show and why we're having this conversation, but who are some of the other players in the Giants system who you think could be poised to have maybe breakout years, or who you really like in terms of their potential value to the major league club in the next few years?
Well, it depends how deep you want to go on the sleepers. There was a shortstop that came up to San Jose, the guy who actually replaced Marco Luciano after he got promoted up to high A. His name is Gordy Santos. He came up and really, really impressed a lot of people, myself included, with his play at shortstop. A good hitter. He's a switch hitter. I saw him mostly bat from the left side, and is a nice left-handed swing. Again, this is someone who's not even on a lot of prospect lists, but he's a switch-hitting shortstop who can really hit and play the position, and it just speaks to the depth the Giants have.
I love that pick, especially because he's someone who Giants farm director Kyle Haynes has pointed out to me over the past few years, and someone who ended up playing in spring training a little bit with the Giants when they needed to call someone up. Someone who's kind of popped up on my radar, Kyle, who I'm curious to get your opinion of, Ryan Murphy, 2020 draft pick of the Giants, a small school guy, so not much known about him when the Giants did select him. I think he came out of Lemoyne College, which is where Josiah Gray went, former Dodgers prospect traded in that Max Scherzer deal to the Nationals. He just had tremendous strikeout numbers last year, made it up to high A Eugene, and someone who has very quickly risen to kind of the top of the ranks of the Giants pitching prospects. Where do you see, him fitting into this farm system, and do you see him as a top 10, 15 Giants prospect right now?
Yeah, absolutely. He had a really, really special year this year. He did go to Lemoyne, as you mentioned. I will say, college players in low A should dominate as he did. We see college guys putting up big numbers in low A a lot, and I would say don't read too much into that. Whereas he really started to separate himself is once he got to high A, that's where it was more kind of age-appropriate competition. 31 to third innings, give up 13 hits and 5 earned runs. The strikeouts continued, didn't really walk anyone, 48 strikeouts, 8 walks. He's not a guy who's going to overpower you or light up a radar gun. He's got 4 quality pitches he can throw at you. He knows how to command them. Just a really mature mound presence, and that goes a long way. We see a lot of those guys in the major leagues who are in the low 90s but have 3 good secondaries and command the ball to both sides of the plate, know how to change eye levels and be effective. He's one of those guys, and I would not be surprised to see him surface in the major leagues at some point in the coming years in the Giants rotation.
I think that is certainly how the Giants view him, a major league caliber starting pitcher and someone that they could see in their rotation within the next few seasons. Kyle Glazer, before we let you go here, just overall impressions of this farm system, the strengths, the weaknesses, and what you foresee come 2022 for the Giants as an organization.
Yeah, again, this is a very, very good farm system that has a lot of top-end talent. We mentioned with the five top 100 prospects, there's some good depth as well. I think, generally speaking, the position players are the strength of this farm system, which, as you mentioned, is something the Giants haven't had a lot of, really. Their best homegrown outfielder in recent memory is Brian Reynolds, and he's now in Pittsburgh. He's traded as part of the Andrew McCutchen deal. So, yeah, this is a really, really good position player group. They have talent staggered through all the levels, AAA down to low A. You know, the pitching is not as strong as maybe you want. Again, Kyle Harrison's really promising, but again, he's a teenager in low A. Some of the other guys that they've liked in the past have kind of gone sideways. Seth Corey being one of them. And, you know, again, guys like Ryan Murphy and Carson Ragsdale who put up some good numbers this year. Again, there are things to like, but you just want to have more of those guys. Just, you know, continue to add to the pitching depth. And, you know, you can never have too many arms. And if they can add a couple of guys who project to be maybe, you know, front of the rotation types for the next couple of years, then they'll have a really, really complete farm system.
A really great overview. And I'm glad you brought up Brian Reynolds because it gives me the chance to tell one of my favorite stories. After that trade and after Brian Reynolds kind of took off in Pittsburgh, a member of the Giants organization came up to me one day and said, well, we had the evaluation right once. So there you have it. Kyle Glazer of Baseball America, kind enough to join us talking about the top 100 prospect list and the San Francisco Giants prospects who appear on it. Kyle, thank you so much for your time this evening.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anytime, Kerry.
He is Kyle Glazer, one of the best prospect writers in the business. He not only shows up to the affiliates, checks out all of these prospects in person at San Jose, Eugene, Richmond, and Sacramento, but is also in the Major League Clubhouse from time to time, talking to guys once they come up, getting a feel for their development process at the Major League level. And that's one of the reasons I respect Kyle and his opinion so much, because he is boots on the ground, getting the job done, and giving us the much needed perspective of the Giants farm system that at this point in the winter, I think we can all say we desperately crave. Major League Baseball reportedly going to meet with the owners and the Players Association on Monday. That's progress, but how much progress will be made, that is to be determined. I'm kind of sick of the lockout talk, very frustrated because I feel like baseball becomes less relevant by each passing day that baseball players are locked out. And let's be real, the owners have to make some concessions here for there to be a 2022 season and for that season to start on time. So that's enough baseball for the evening. When we come back, KMBR 9 o'clock hour replay. You're listening to KMBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.